This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net. The
Senate will come to order. Leading in the prayer today is Pastor Sam Hanske, and the Pledge of Allegiance is led by Senate Page Katie Schmidt.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, you have given us times and seasons of both work and rest. Help those gathered here to remain mindful of the duties before them. Grant them also the relaxation of rest to refresh their bodies and minds. As this first month of session draws to a close, grant us peace to reflect upon the work which we have done and energy to perform the work ahead of us. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Blair, Boland, Kamak, Castleberry, Kerr, Duhamel, Ewing, Foster, Greenfield, Heiner, Jensen, Kennedy, Klum, Colbeck, Lake, Langer, Maher, Monroe, Nessebe, Nordstrup, Otten, Partridge, Rush, Russell, Schoenbeck, Shane Fish, Smith, Soholt, Stalzer, Steinhauer, Sutton, White, Wick, Wismer, and Youngberg. We have a quorum, Mr. President.
Thank you. We have the doctor of the day with us today, Dr. Robert Marciano from Mobridge. Dr. Marciano is a family medicine and obstetrics physician in Mobridge. He received his degree from Kansas City University of Medicine and Biosciences and completed his residency in Independence, Missouri. Welcome and thank you for your service. Also, we want to extend our appreciation to Dakota Pet Breeders Association for the breakfast that they provided in the Senate lobby this morning. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 11th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully, Senator Greenfield, Chair.
Comments on that motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Agricultural and Natural Resources met this morning and had under consideration Senate Bill 53, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Senator Kamak, Chair. The Committee on Commerce and Energy met. They had under consideration Senate Bill 83, which was amended, and that as so amended, they recommend said bill do pass. They also had under consideration House Bill 1016, and they recommend that that bill pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully submitted, Senator Stalzer, Chair. The Committee on Senate Education met, had under consideration Senate Bill 59, which was tabled. Senator Kerr, Chair. And finally, the Senate Judiciary Committee met. They had under consideration Senate Bill 71 with a due pass recommendation. Senate Bill 47, which was amended, and that as so amended, they recommend that bill pass. They also had under consideration Senate Bill 73, which was amended, and they recommend that bill pass as amended and also to be placed on the consent calendar.
Senator Schoenbeck.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to recognize from my country up in the gallery here former chairman of the Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate, Chairman J.C. Crawford.
Welcome. Messages.
Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit our House Bills 1023, 1055, 1057, and 1061, which have passed the House, and your favorable consideration is requested. Respectfully, Mary Lou Gehring, Chief Clerk.
Motions and resolutions.
Senate Concurrent Resolution, a concurrent resolution recognizing June 5th, 2020 as Gun Safety Awareness Day.
That has been assigned to Health and Human Services.
Senator Langer moves that Senate Bills 26, 2074, 4, and 56 be deferred until Tuesday, February 7th, the 13th legislative day.
Comments on that motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Consideration of committee reports.
Senator Langer moves that the report in the Standing Committee on Ag and Natural Resources on Senate Bill 24 is found on page 97 of the Senate Journal be adopted.
Comments on that motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. First reading of Senate bills.
First of all, I have two withdrawals. The President declares that Senate bills 77 and 86 were withdrawn at the request of the prime sponsors pursuant to Joint Rule 6B-1.1. And then I also have, being this is a deadline day, we have a lot of first readings, so we're going to read together. Senate Bill 103, an act to limit the disclosure of presidential election results and to provide for a suspension of such disclosure. Senate Bill 104, an act to limit entitlement to mechanics liens. Senate Bill 105, an act to accommodate legislation enhancing education. Senate Bill 106, an act to accommodate legislation enhancing health care. Senate Bill 107, an act to accommodate legislation enhancing basic government services in the state. Senate Bill 108, an act to revise the time period allowable for certain covenants not to compete. Senate Bill 109, an act to provide protections for health care decisions governed by conscience. Senate Bill 110, an act to permit the Department of Revenue to disclose tax returns and tax return information to the Legislative Research Council in certain circumstances. Senate Bill 111, an act to exclude certain wind energy tax revenue from the state aid to education formula. 112, an act to repeal certain provisions regarding initiated measures. 113, an act to revise certain provisions regarding instruction permits and restricted minors driving permits. 114, an act to require an incentive program to provide diversion opportunities for certain substance abuse offenses. Senate Bill 115, an act to revise the penalty for the ingestion of certain controlled substances. 116, an act to establish requirements certain state ethics must follow when applying for federal grants. 117, an act to require the Department of Education to establish certain programs for children who are deaf and hard of hearing. 118, an act to revise certain educational programs and promote efficiency in state government and to make an appropriation therefore. 119, an act to revise certain provisions regarding private placement insurance. 120, an act to establish exceptions regarding the possession of a pistol by a minor. Senate Bill 121, an act to revise parenting guidelines and repeal Supreme Court authority to promulgate guidelines. And finally, Senate Bill 122, an act to impose a severance tax on the quarry and of certain minerals.
Did you all catch all that? Those bills have been assigned as follows. Senate Commerce and Energy get Senate Bill 104, 108, 119, 129, 139, 146. Senate Committee on Appropriations gets Senate Bill 116, 118, 127, 130, 131, 132, 133, 134, 142, 143, 144, and Senate Joint Resolution 502. Senate Education gets Senate Bill 117 and Senate Bill 123. Senate Health and Human Services gets Senate Bill 109, 136, 145. Senate Judiciary gets Senate Bill 114, 115, 120, 121, 126, 138, 148. Senate Local Government gets Senate Bill 135, 137, and Senate Joint Resolution 501. Senate Military and Veterans Affairs gets Senate Bill 124. Senate State Affairs gets Senate Bill 103, 105, 106, 107, 110, 112, 128, 140, 141, 147. Senate Taxation gets Senate Bill 111, 122, and 125. And finally, Senate Transportation gets Senate Bill 113. Also, Senate Commerce and Energy gets Senate Bill 101. Senate State Affairs gets Senate Bill 102. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 1023, an act to permit the Secretary of Revenue to issue cease and desist orders and to impose a civil penalty on certain public auctions. House Bill 1055, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the termination of a political committee under certain circumstances. 1057, an act to prohibit certain acts against children and provide a penalty therefore. And 1061, an act to exempt vehicles owned by improvement districts from certain vehicle registration fees.
Those House bills have been assigned as follows. Senate Health and Human Services gets House Bill 1057. Senate State Affairs gets House Bill 1055. Senate Transportation gets House Bill 1023 and House Bill 1061. Consent calendar.
Pursuant to Senate Rule 6-1, the President removed Senate Bill 52 from the consent calendar. So that leaves us with Senate Bill 69, an act to revise the penalty for the misuse of emblem specialty plates on motor vehicles.
Senate Bill 52 had a two-thirds requirement, so it was not eligible to be on the consent calendar. So, Senate Bill 69, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any questions? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 69. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Blair?
Aye.
Boland?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Castleberry?
Aye.
Kurd? Duhamel?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Foster?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Klum?
Aye.
Kobach?
Aye.
Lake?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Nessebar?
Aye.
Norstrup?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Partridge?
Aye.
Rush? Russell?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Shanefish?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Button's excused. White?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Wismer?
Aye.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 34 yeas, one excused.
Senate Bill 69, having received a majority vote of members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 54, an act to regulate the use of auxiliary containers.
Senate Bill 54, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Wick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senators, I bring for your consideration today Senate Bill 54. Senate Bill 54 is an act to regulate the use of auxiliary containers. So the first question is, what is an auxiliary container? An auxiliary container is well-defined in painstaking detail in the second part of this bill. And if I can just simplify things a little bit, it's a way to deliver a product. It's a grocery bag. It's a drink cup, a dry cleaner's bag, a takeout box, a plastic straw. It's a clean, safe, affordable way to get the groceries home, the clothes back from the cleaners, the dinner home, and maybe have a refreshing drink on the way there. The main reason I bring this bill is simple. South Dakota is a large, rectangular, spread-out small town of less than 900,000 people. We're a small market who struggles to participate in the economy of scale. I believe that someone who owns, say, a convenience store in Sioux Falls and in Tea should be able to buy the same supplies for both stores. And I believe that a statewide preemption is the way to get away from localized bans that will do nothing more than create a patchwork of potentially confusing regulations. This is a South Dakota problem, and I wish any future action to potentially ban these items to be brought here and discussed here in this building so that all South Dakotans may have their voices heard in that discussion. Please allow me to be absolutely clear. Littering is wrong and it is against the law. No one wants dirty water. No one wants to see bags blowing in the wind like a modern-day tumbleweed. Nothing in this bill will encourage any of that. This bill simply adds to a list of products that the state of South Dakota already said may not be regulated at the local level. When we were studying for this bill, I already found out it's against the law for municipalities to ban plastic garbage bags. Local governments today may not require you to buy a certain brand of appliance or ban a certain kind of paper. What we're doing here today will allow small business owners the ability to operate in South Dakota in a similar fashion that the Interstate Commerce Clause allows business owners to operate with similar rules across state lines. Consider Senate Bill 54 as a small plank in a small business intrastate commerce clause for the people who do business all around South Dakota. Nothing in this bill will force a business owner to offer plastic bags and straws. That is worth repeating. Nothing in this bill will force a business owner to offer plastic bags and straws. If elimination of plastic bags and straws or any auxiliary container is your goal, the market will offer you a solution. Since I brought this bill, I have learned so much about auxiliary containers, we could be here all day. Plastic manufacturers are actually filling my email inbox with all kinds of news of new and, they say, exciting biodegradable plastic bags and other plastic-based earth-friendlier options. Bans of any kind are premature because they will stifle this kind of innovation, and the next generation of plastic auxiliary containers may take longer to develop. In your consideration, I ask, as is customary for me, for those of you been around me, remember those of us from the small towns and the rural areas who live near these other communities, who don't get to participate in the ordinance of these towns, but we have little choice whether to participate in their commerce. I'll stand by for questions. Thank you for your thoughtful consideration. Please keep this conversation going and support Senate Bill 54. Thank you.
Further remarks?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just some questions.
Senator Nesbitt.
Yeah, just some questions for the prime sponsor.
State your question.
Yes, to the prime sponsor. How many municipalities has this ban applied to, and what's the main problem of the existence of the ban right now? What problem is it causing?
Senator Wick, do you wish to answer?
Mr. President, I do. Thank you. And thank you for the question. There have been studies in several communities around South Dakota. However, no ordinance is in effect at this time.
Senator Nesbitt?
And so, I just a follow-up question, Mr. President.
Question.
So we could wait. There is no urgency necessarily in passing this bill this year because there are no municipality has acted on that. So we could wait for this.
Senator Wick, you wish to answer?
Thank you, Mr. President. I do. I'm looking for stability here. The reason I brought this bill is I don't want a patchwork to develop. So, again, you bring a preemptive bill before a problem exists so we don't have to go back and relitigate. This is a preemptive bill that will make South Dakota a very large, small town with a very level playing field.
Senator Nesbitt, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a final closing comment. Judging by my emails, I had no comments that came to me that were urging me to support this bill, but I did have a number of letters that were like this one, and this is from one of my constituents in District 15, and I'd just like to read that, if I might, Mr. President.
Granted.
Thank you. So, Senator Nesbitt, I'm writing to urge you to vote no on Senate Bill 54 on the grounds that I believe local communities can and should be the ones to decide what is best for them. By working with our own citizens and business, we can determine what policies are best for our area. This bill removes local control and local decision-making in a way that I believe is detrimental to Sioux Falls. Thank you.
Thank you.
No further comments, Mr. President.
Further remarks? Senator Smith.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to make this try to be as short and sweet as possible. When I ran for office, like many of you have done so, and we preached the idea of local is best. The people who have to live in the communities I've never been able to figure out where that line is as I've gone through this process of legislating. We pick things here, we pick things there, I firmly believe that if a local government, which is in place because of the citizens who put them there, makes a decision in the best interest of that community, it ought to be respected, just as long as it falls within the guidelines of law. And sometimes I wonder when we move forward with that we know better than you attitude, I don't think that's always helpful. And I trust the people back home, and I know you trust the people in your homes, home communities, to make decisions about themselves and the way they operate. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Further remarks?
Mr. President?
Senator Kennedy.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to echo the comments from my good friend from Brookings. The people in my community need to have the right to decide what's best for them. The people who serve on my city government are well aware of the interests of our local business people, whether they're business people that just operate in Yankton or who may have a store in Yankton and a store in another community. But to me, the real issue here is who gets to make the decisions for Yankton. And I think the people of Yankton ought to have the right to decide what's best for them. If Yankton decides that it wants to ban the use of plastic bags, it doesn't hurt Big Stone City or Rapid City, or Sioux Falls. It only affects Yankton. And that's a Yankton decision. We will take the consequences of the decision we make. As I looked at this last evening, thinking about it, I thought it came down really to a real simple decision. You know, do we care more about the rights of the people who live in the communities around South Dakota and have their own governments? Or do we care more about the rights of a business that might have multiple locations around the state? Personally, I'd rather look out for the citizens.
Further remarks? Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a question for the sponsor, if I might.
State your question.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I don't know if you shared this information. I don't think I caught it, but are you aware whether this has become an issue in any other state or jurisdiction?
Senator Wick, do you answer?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you for the question. This is not isolated to South Dakota. I believe there are over, I forget the number right now. It just escaped me. There's something like 18 or 20 states, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, I know Florida, and several others in the middle of the country here have preemptive laws preventing local governments from establishing these kinds of bans.
Thank you. Thank you for the answer. I guess that that to me gives me reason to establish a bit of an opinion relative to the issue as to the question, can we wait? Can we wait and see how this plays out? I don't think so. And the reason is because there's a move afoot to change local ordinances in order that we create chaos within states and create a patchwork of different ordinances and regulations so that the states ultimately have to act. Are they going to act in such a way that they will establish a one-size-fits-all policy that's all-encompassing, or will they? Well, I guess which extreme will the pendulum swing to? It strikes me that over the years, people have tried different methods by which to get their way, and sometimes they seek to get the right people on the courts that will uphold their positions. Sometimes they seek to get the right people put in place at the local level who will support their decisions. And all too often, it's the states that they're walking all over, the states' rights issue. And so a number of us can think of issues that we feel are wrongly decided and have been wrongly decided. But I'm here to tell you, if you're a proud supporter of the Second Amendment, know that there are people all across this country seeking to undermine in local jurisdictions your right to guns and ammunition, to utilize them in the way that you see fit. They try to tax them, they try to regulate them out of existence. A few years back, BPA was a plastic additive that we were made aware of here in South Dakota, and I did a little research on that. And because 11 states had adopted BPA bans, the federal government acted to do the same. So I think this is yet another instance in which there's this undertow of opposition that's sweeping across the state, trying to pave the way for policies that would conflict with state law or try to create a new state law relative to bans on plastic straws, for example. One of the arguments here today was made that we should be able to wait. But then in the next offering, the senator said, these decisions are best left to the local level. Well, those two things conflict with one another. That doesn't mean we're going to wait and then pass the law. That means we're going to wait until everybody else has passed local ordinances, and then we're going to say whatever they've determined is fine, and maybe we should just bend over, kowtow to what it is that they've what it is they've done. And so I would also submit that we've seen the same issue relative to marijuana. There remains a federal ban on marijuana, and yet a whole lot of states have said, we're going to just ignore it. And when you have a a federal government that turns its back on prosecution of broken laws such as that, you get this chaotic situation in which you don't know where it's acceptable and where it's not, but you know that nowhere in America is it legal right now to smoke a joint if people would just uphold the federal law, the federal ban. We've actually seen a similar situation with hemp. I won't go into the ins and outs of it, but when the federal government banned hemp, created a situation, they've since allowed that to become a states' rights type issue, and now we're trying to figure out how to proceed. Other states have forged ahead and forced the situation, and I guess we see a government that becomes reactionary. I don't want us to become reactionary. Once ordinances and regulations have been put in place at the local level. And I also want to say this, because I know there are a number of students that are tuned in or will be tuned in listening to this. I'm as concerned about what goes on relative to our environment as anybody. I'm an outdoorsman. It might not look like it, but believe it or not, I enjoy the great outdoors here in South Dakota. And to see somebody who's not respectful of our environment, it bothers me. It tears at me. And I want to see everybody be good stewards of the land and the resources that we have. The question is, what's the proper government policy? We have, as was pointed out in the opening, we have laws in place that make littering illegal. We have laws in place that protect our land, our water, our resources in many different ways. I believe that establishing a statewide policy relative to this issue is appropriate, as we've done with so many other issues, in order that we don't have a chaotic patchwork of differing standards across the state. And with that, I would urge your support. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body.
Further remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Heinert.
Mitakipi, Mr. President. Well, members of the body, are we still talking about auxiliary containers? I mean, we went from guns to marijuana. And that is a stretch, no matter the size of the plastic bag. You know, I didn't plan on speaking today, and I appreciate my good friend for his knowledge and his insight on issues. But I've never seen plastic mentioned in the Constitution. That, to me, was kind of trying to divert what we're talking about. When you think about your local community, where do a lot of these initiatives come from? I would say it comes from your children, because they're in school, maybe about third grade, and they're asked, what would you want to do to make your community a better place? So the little kid's driving around with his parents. Maybe they ride the school bus and they drive past the dump every day. And there's plastic bags in the fence line, maybe blowing around in the yard. And he says, you know what? We shouldn't have plastic bags. So then they write a little petition and they maybe go see their city commissioner, or maybe they give it to their principal, or they get the rest of their little school buddies and they start going down that path. And they learn the process of, hey, I'm going to take this to the grocery store, and I'm going to ask the grocery store, will you stop using plastic bags? We don't like it blowing in our communities. Maybe they don't do it. Maybe they say, get out of here, kid. So then they go to the mayor, city councilor, and they say, will you guys consider this? I know that's what happened in our community when we tried to clean up a little pond next to Mission. That came from third graders. They were not happy. There's a grocery store next to it that wasn't probably storing its waste the way it should, and things were blowing into that pond. So this conversation about auxiliary containers really does go back to, what does your local community want? This isn't a vast conspiracy of we're trying to take your guns away. This is Rapid City bans them. Fine. I know when I'm in Rapid City, I'm going to get a paper bag. Or I'll bring my own cloth bag. If Mission doesn't want them, you're not going to get a plastic bag. You know, there goes your bathroom trash can. Yeah, your liner. That's what the word I'm looking for. But really, let a community decide. If Yankton doesn't want to do it, I don't care. That's fine with me. That's what their community wanted. And you know us Democrats, we are all about small government. Pilamia, Mr. President.
Further remarks.
Mr. President.
Senator Russell.
I appreciate the passion that we just heard about small government. The practical, this is why I think that it's important, this legislation, and I commend the senator from the Northeast for bringing it. And the practical aspect is that representing a number of small communities in my area, every once in a while you'll get somebody that wants to do something of this nature, you know, and they feel like they're doing something positive, and it drives them, and it's an activist type of mentality. In South Dakota, we are one of the states that has adopted a rule, and I always get it wrong, but I believe that the name of it is the Dillon's Rule. We have a version of it. And essentially what it means is that local governments are only given that authority which the legislature gives them. And if it isn't expressly put out in a statute, if we don't pass a statute that says you have this authority, or you inherently have the authority based upon the statute that we give you, that we have reserved as the state government the authority to regulate that field. And so a lot of times when you're advising mayors and city councilors, you're essentially telling them, well, you know, what you want to do may not be provided for in state law. And it's very difficult. So sometimes having a bright rule like this that reinforces the general rule is a positive step, because it eliminates a lot of confusion about what is permissible and what isn't permissible. And so it makes the job of trying to advise some of the local governments a little bit easier when you have a bright line rule that says, hey, this is some area that you really don't have the authority in. And they may not have the authority right now, but without something like this making it clear, then you have folks that have an agenda that can make an argument that waste a lot of time of the community where they really don't have that authority to begin with, and create a lot of problem for the businesses in that area. So I think that there is a practical aspect to this bill, and I would hope that you would approve it. Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Monroe.
Thank you.
Further remarks? Does anyone wish to speak before Senator Wick speaks in closing? Hearing none, Senator Wick in closing.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, members of the body. I think we've had a robust discussion today that may have drifted into the weeds a little bit. But I believe in this. This is our opportunity to keep South Dakota a fair and level playing field. And for those of us who live in the smaller towns, this gives us a chance to travel around our great state and know what we're going to get when we get there. So please support Senate Bill 54. Thank you.
Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 54. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Blair.
Aye.
Bolin.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
Castleberry.
Aye.
Curd.
No.
Duhamel.
No.
Ewing.
Aye.
Foster.
No.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Einert.
No.
Jensen. Kennedy?
No.
Klum?
Aye.
Kolbeck?
Aye.
Lake?
Aye.
Langer?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Nessebar?
No.
Nordstrom?
Aye.
Otten?
No.
Partridge?
Aye.
Rush?
No.
Russell?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Shane Fish?
Aye.
Smith?
No.
Soholt?
No.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
No.
Sutton? Is excused. White?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Wismer?
No.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Blair?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 22 yeas, 12 nays, and one excused.
Senate Bill 54, having received a majority vote of members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct. We will move now to signing of bills. All the bills that are signed have to be signed in open session by the President. The President is signing an act to revise certain provisions regarding the use of telehealth technologies. The President is signing an act to establish maximum on the number of words contained in a statement of proponent or opponent for a ballot question pamphlet. The President is signing an act to change the reference from secondary election to a runoff election to maintain consistency in terms. Announcements. Senator Kamak.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ag and Natural Resources will meet on Tuesday at 10 o'clock.
Senator Russell.
Mr. President, the Judiciary Committee will meet at 8 a.m. on Tuesday.
Senator Stalzer.
The Senate Transportation Committee will meet 10 a.m. on Monday. We have four confirmations and four bills, so full schedule. Tuesday, I guess.
Senator Wick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Joint Committee on Appropriations will meet on Tuesday. Staff briefing at 7:30, and then we'll be ready for everybody at 8 o'clock with Department of Health, Department of Corrections, followed up by Correctional Health.
Any other announcements? Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple weeks ago on a Monday night, we got together as an e-board and planned our next couple weeks forward. We said we would reconvene in roughly 2 weeks. We will not convene on Monday night, however. We will convene presumably later next week. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further announcements? Madam Secretary.
Senator Foster moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
Is there a second? All those in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate is adjourned.